It's so great to be here with everyone. So great to see folks from all over. Some folks I recognized from the queer retreat last week. Some folks I recognized from life.
Yay.
So good to see all of you. Welcome to everyone known and yet to be known. I'm Kimber. I'm using she, they pronouns. I'm here residing on the unceded territory of the Amamutsunalone in Santa Cruz. And I also just want to take a moment to remind us that we're practicing in a tradition, in this Buddhist tradition, that was actually originally brought to this continent by immigrant workers and families from Asia. So it's a way of like just dispersing the way in which we usually think that our tradition, where our tradition comes from. So just a reminder of that. And I want to just pause and take in our shared space here tonight. First, just take in where you are, take in the room that you're in, look around, orient yourself in your own space. Taking in what's here, what's around you, what's near. And then take in our shared space here together, all the little boxes, and just that acknowledgement that everyone's arriving from different experiences, right? We're all arriving from different experiences. Sometimes some of us have our pets nearby as well. And we're here just to spend this time together, this really valuable time together in queer community. In fact, that's our theme tonight, is talking about the importance of queer community. And so also I want you to acknowledge for a moment whatever you're bringing here, whatever you're holding in the whole of your life today. And I want you to notice that you have a body. And notice how the practice and the talk and the discussion all land in your body. And I really want to invite you to get whatever you need for your body to feel comfortable. If it's blankets and pillows, you can feel free to sit up or lay down or stand or be in whatever position is comfortable for your body moment to moment. Feel free to shift it, change it up if you need to. And also just remember to honor, as Emiko mentioned, whatever access needs you have. And you can reach out to Emiko for support as needed. And so we're going to start out with our meditation practice. And then we'll go ahead and we'll have a little time to stretch. And then we'll go into the talk and leave some time for discussion at the end. So just letting you know kind of how this evening's going to go. And we're going to do our practice tonight around being gentle with whatever's arising. In the midst of this queer space we're in together, that we're creating together, and that you're also creating within yourself. And so I'll invite you to focus on the sensations of the breath and the body, which is our first foundation of mindfulness. And then, as thoughts arise, to meet those thoughts with a lot of friendliness and a lot of gentleness as you invite yourself back to the breath. So here, before we go into our practice, here's your last chance to quiet any distractions. Close a door, turn a phone onto airplane mode, do whatever you need to do to really to quiet. I'm just gonna make sure my phone's also on airplane mode. Yes. Any last things? And then go ahead and find a relatively comfortable position to practice in, whatever that might be for you, sitting or standing or lying down. You can have your camera on or off. And let yourself settle in. You can close your eyes if that's comfortable. And I'll ring the bell to bring us into our practice. With your inhale, invite in a sense of length and expansion all the way up to the crown of the head. And on your exhale, feel yourself settling into wherever your body is touching that quality of earth, that solidity. Maybe it's the back of a chair. Maybe your feet are touching the earth, wherever your hips are resting. With your inhale, invite the shoulders to lift, let the shoulder blades come back onto the back. With your exhale, letting yourself rest into that quiet stability of the earth. And notice your breath. Notice how your inhale lifts and fills your chest and your belly. And how your exhale lets your chest and belly soften and release. Maybe you feel your breath most clearly moving through your body through the back of the throat or through the nostrils or along the upper lip. Wherever you notice the breath most clearly, let that be the point you return to again and again, the sensation of the breath moving in and out. And if for any reason the breath doesn't work for you as an object to focus on, you can use sound, perhaps, instead of noticing the arising and falling of sound. Notice your feet, where they're resting. Feel their coolness or their warmth. See if you can feel your feet from the inside. Notice your hands where they're resting. You don't have to adjust them, just noticing them. Are they warm or cool? Do they feel tense or relaxed? See if you can feel their aliveness from the inside. And remembering that whenever you return your attention back to the sensations in the body, sensation of the breath moving through the body, you've arrived once again in the present moment. It doesn't matter how far away your thoughts have taken you. In a single moment, you can arrive once again, right here, home. And when thoughts arise, as they do, see if you can meet them without judgment. There's no need to give yourself a hard time. Instead, see if you can meet them with a lot of gentleness, a lot of kindness. A smile, a bow. And then gently accompany yourself back to the breath, back to this moment, again and again. Notice what's here. Notice if there's any subtle way in which you might be making yourself wrong or doubting if you're doing it right. See if you can turn towards those thoughts with gentleness, with a sense of friendliness. And then gently invite yourself to return to that feeling of the chest moving up and down, feeling of the hands resting, feet supported. Using the arising of thoughts and noticing as an opportunity to meet yourself as a friend. To lovingly invite yourself back to this moment. Notice what's here. Maybe there's sleepiness or restlessness. Maybe there's planning or repetitive thoughts. Rehearsed arguments are always one of my favorites. Whatever you notice, see if you can make space for it to arise, to fall away, to meet whatever's here with a sense of, ah, yes, this too. And then gently invite yourself back to the breath. Invite your attention back into your body, back into that sensation of the breath moving in and out, keeping you alive. And as you breathe here, just notice if there's some place in your body that feels warm and easeful. And on your inhale, breathe into that place. And on your exhale, let that place grow, let it expand to include more of your body. So as you breathe in, you invite in the sense of warmth and ease towards yourself. And on your exhale, let it expand to include your whole torso, down your legs, to your feet, through your shoulders and arms and hands, up through your neck and head. Inhale the sense of warmth and ease, friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, let it extend to include every cell, every muscle, every bone, down to your toes and your fingertips and up to the crown of the head. Inhale, draw in that warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, let it extend out in all directions beyond your body into the home or room or building that you're in. Let it extend out to all the beings you share space with. Each inhale, draw in warmth, ease, friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend out that same warmth, ease, and friendliness. Let it spill out beyond the windows and the doors onto the streets and sidewalks to all the homes and businesses, the highways and byways, the parks and forests. Each inhale, draw in warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it out in all directions. Let it reach out along the bay and the whole coastline, across the continent, across the oceans. Each inhale, draw in that warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it back out in all directions. Let it reach out across the whole planet to all the places known and unknown. Each inhale, draw in warmth, ease, friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it back out to the planet and the solar system, the galaxy and the galaxies beyond our galaxy, the universe and the universes beyond our universe. Each inhale, draw in warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it back out in front of you and behind you, above you and below you. That warmth, ease, and friendliness extending to the left and to the right. Each inhale, draw in warmth, ease, friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it back out in all directions to all beings everywhere. Go ahead and notice how you're feeling. You can stretch a little bit. Just notice what gentle movement might feel good to you right now. Yeah, you can change your position up a little bit. And I invite you to just notice how you're feeling right now. What's arising for you right now? And if you'd like to, you could share in the chat just how the practice landed for you, what you're holding right now. Love to hear how you're doing. Notice how your body's doing. See, there's some people who are writing a little bit, so I'll wait a moment for your chats to come through. Ah, sleepy. Yeah, sleepy body. Just noticing what's here, what's arising. Oh, feeling a sense of possibility. Clear mind. Definitely a lot muddier yesterday. Well, thanks for the shares. Oh, so I like to start out a little bit. Start out with I'd like to acknowledge kind of where we are in the seasons, where we are in the year. We're in this last quarter of the year, right? And with the moon, which is currently in its waxing gibbous phase, which means that it's more than half full and it's getting bigger, right? The full moon is happening this Saturday, October 28th. It's called the Hunter's Moon. And the moon is in Pisces, but we're in Scorpio season. So any Scorpios out there? Happy birthday, Scorpios. Happy birthday season to you. And October is LGBTQIAP plus History Month. And tomorrow, in fact, is Intersex Awareness Day. And this next Tuesday is a great queer holiday, right? Known as Halloween, when the veil between the two worlds is said to be the thinnest. And it also marks the halfway point between the fall equinox and the summer and the winter solstice. And it goes this quarter, this little part of the year takes us into what's considered the darkest part of the year for the Northern Hemisphere, right? When the light is going away, the light's getting less and less every day until the solstice. And of course, November 2nd coming up, as well as the Day of the Dead. Time to honor ancestors and queer sisters. So just acknowledging these holidays, however you might celebrate them. And I also want to acknowledge all the conflict and pain and heartbreak and suffering in the world right now. Right? And just acknowledge however your heart might be holding that, however your nervous system is responding to that. So holding that with a lot of tenderness. So last week, I had the honor of being a teacher trainee and a movement teacher for the queer retreat at Spirit Rock. And some of you were there. And my wife was there, actually. It was her very first silent retreat, which was really sweet for both of us. And one of the things that I, remembered again, so much of our practice is about remembering again. Was, sitting in that meditation hall with 70 or so fellow queer folk, was just how important queer community really is. How important it is to sit among other people who are questioning the white, heterosexist, cis, capitalist patriarchy, right? Challenging it, questioning it in how we move through the world and how we love, right? Challenging the structures and the expectations, right? I mean, that's what we do. That's part of what it is to be queer, to queer something. We'll talk a little bit more about that too. And it's in the Sangha. Sangha is the Pali word for community. And I can share with you that I remember the first time I really found a community, a queer community, really any community where I felt truly fully accepted for who I was when I moved to the Bay Area for grad school in the early 90s. And I joined a queer political action group called the Lesbian Avengers. Does anybody remember the Lesbian Avengers? So it was the first time that I found myself hanging out with a group of people who laughed at my jokes. Right? They thought I was funny. wherever I was, like I would say something I thought was funny, and people would just stand around staring at me really awkwardly. They're not my people. And many of those folks actually became longtime friends, and I even became like a godmother to one of the gabies that came out of the relationships and the Avengers. Whoa, like think about that, like Avenger gabies. Avenger gabies. Doesn't it sound like the name of like a new superhero franchise, like streaming on Netflix, like 2025? That'd be amazing. I'd totally watch that. But we need folks who laugh at our jokes, right? We need folks who get our sense of style and who believe in our fabulousness, even when we have morning hair or bags under our eyes, right? And you can think of for yourself, right, where you've found chosen queer community in your life, how it's supported you. And maybe it's in coming out. Maybe it's in exploring who you are, maybe in exploring other ways of being and living in the world. And also the intersecting, right, queer communities, right? BIPOC queer communities, right? Trans queer communities. Looking for all the different ways in which our communities intersect. And maybe we found and then lost queer community. Maybe we've had to create it again from scratch at times. And maybe we live in some place where queer community is hard to find, or maybe our life circumstances just make it hard to find. Maybe we have to rely on virtual connections like this, like our evening together right now. But we need our queer communities, right? Our queer sanghas to celebrate ourselves, to learn and love together, to fight together. I love what Thich Nhat Hanh says about community. He says, a sangha is a community of friends practicing the Dharma together in order to bring about and to maintain awareness. The essence of a sangha is awareness, understanding, acceptance, harmony, and love. When you do not see these in a community, it is not a true sangha, and you should have the courage to say so. When you find these elements are present in a community, you know that you have the happiness and fortune of being in a real sangha. I'll share with you this story, and maybe you've heard this story before. It's often told about sangha, and it's where Ananda, who's like the Buddha's cousin, his buddy, his friend. He's like, I don't know, sometimes I think of like Buddha and Ananda as like Laurel and Hardy, like talking to each other, like Ananda's kind of like the straight man, and Buddha like gives the Dharma to him. But I like to imagine that sometimes that Ananda maybe had a secret crush on the Dharma, on the Buddha. Like Ananda's secret crush on the Buddha. And I think it's okay. I think it's okay for us to queer the Dharma a little bit. I love, just last week, Luigi Kim reminded us that we don't actually know how queer the original Sangha was. We don't actually know. We only know that we've always been here. We've always been here, everywhere, all over the world. And so this story, I'll paraphrase. Ananda says, he says, okay, Buddha, so I was thinking, the Sangha is so valuable. It's so important, right? Having good friends on this path together, supporting each other, it's like half the holy life. And I imagine Ananda sitting there, and he's feeling pretty good about his understanding of how important the Sangha is, right? And I think of the Buddha then. And the Buddha is actually sitting there, and he's thinking about how he's going to gently tease his childhood friend a little bit. And he says, "Nope, no, Ananda." And Ananda looks at him, and he's like surprised. He's a little surprised. He's like, "Wait, what do you mean, no?" And the Buddha smiles at him and says, "The Sangha, Ananda, is the whole of the holy life. The Sangha is the whole of the holy life." And our living patron saint of the queer community, the queer Dharma community, Larry Yang, explains a bit in his book, Awakening Together, if any of you have read it. He says, the Buddha did not design a container for spiritual awakening that depends solely on personal effort. Out of the interdependent communities of lay and ordained practitioners, the Buddha wove the fabric of his vision for practicing together. So let us bring the spirit of togetherness inclusively into our Dharma communities. Let us envision, create, foster, and evolve as practitioners, preserving the possibility of awakening and freedom together. Awakening and freedom together. Because here's the thing, yeah, we're not expected to awaken alone. This is good news. You are not expected to awaken alone. You do not have to do it all by yourself. Enlightenment is not a solo expedition. It's a trek where you need lots of folks to come and help you, right? Help all of us, help us all carry the load together. It's not a starring role, it's an ensemble cast. And you shouldn't expect to do it all by yourself, right? We do such a number on ourselves in this individualistic culture, right? It's all on us personally to practice more, to be more diligent, to be more disciplined. And if we fall short, we take it on as a personal failing. And that is our conditioning, right? There are causes and conditions for why we feel that way. Instead, the invitation is, right, to surround ourselves with other folks, other queers who also want to awaken. And then the Sangha can encourage us, can carry us through the times when we lose our steam or when we're heartbroken. We can learn how to bring the Dharma into conflict, how to let all the ways our conditioning rubs up against each other, right? Sometimes really painfully, help us deepen our connection to each other rather than falling apart. We can bring others along with us in our growing wisdom, in our compassion, and in our joy. So there was something really precious last week about being in community with other queer Dharma practitioners like we are right here. I remember the first time I went on the queer retreat in 2018, and it was the first time I had practiced on the land on a specifically queer retreat. And it was the first time that I sat in that meditation hall and didn't have to wonder if there were any other queer people on the retreat with me. And it was so sweet last week because, as the movement teacher, because I taught yoga-inspired movement in the Bay Area for more than 20 years, and I was remembering how I occasionally got to teach queer yoga in Berkeley and Oakland. Anybody remember Skeeter's class? Yeah. I used to sub for Skeeter a lot, but it was like a once-a-week class that I got to teach every so often. But last week at Spirit Rock, it was queer yoga twice a day, every day, all week long. And was so sweet to just take that in, really take that in. And I remember that I had to struggle a bit to find queer community in the Dharma world. I was in a big 2-year training at Spirit Rock. I was in the DPP 5. And it was still, and it was at a time before affinity groups were a common thing on retreats. And I remember we were ending our first week-long retreat without me knowing who the other queer folks were. And partly that's because of how I present, right? Them not knowing me. And so at the last day, I just went up to someone who ended up becoming my good friend. And I said to him, I said, "I've identified you as a queer person, and I'd like for you to identify me as a queer person as well." Ah, right, the sacred awkwardness. And we still laugh about that, right? It's like, but that awkward introduction was inspired by a deep longing, right? A longing to be seen, to feel included, to feel understood, to find queer community on this path. And yeah, it's gonna feel awkward sometimes to put ourselves out there, to open to the vulnerable places inside of us that says, right, see me, love me, be my people. And so maybe you're kind of far along this path already, or if you haven't already, I really encourage you to look for, put energy into finding queer Dharma community, or to nurture the queer Dharma community that you already have. And let's, I'll just outline a little bit. Actually, I'm going to pause for a moment. I want to pause and just notice how this is landing in your body, how this is landing in your heart. And just to notice for yourself, just check in a moment. Notice how your body's feeling. Notice any tenderness that might be arising. Whatever's here. So, here's some of the things that queer Sangha really helps us do. And I want you to think about, like, what does queer Sangha help you do in the world? So to me, queer Sangha really helps us remember both our values and our value. Right? Helps us remember our values and our value. It helps us hold a mirror up to each other, right? To remember who we are. And to remind each other when we forget, like, oh, remember, this is who you are. This is who you are. Right? You're this beloved person. Our queer Sangha is there for our consolation, for our connection, right? To support our individual healing, to support our collective healing. To witness us, to listen to us, for us to witness, for us to listen to. Our queer Sangha is so important as a place where we can speak our truth. There's this beautiful quote from poet Audrey Rich. She says, "There must be those among whom we can sit down and weep and still be counted as warriors. There must be those among whom we can sit down and weep and still be counted as warriors." And queer community, also our queer sanghas, right? To learn from each other. Can we learn from each other? Can we learn from each other how can I fully show up for myself and for you? Right? How can I fully show up on this path, in this practice? How can we fully show up together? A little more from Thich Nhat Hanh. He says, "Don't lock yourself behind your door and fight alone. If you think that by yourself you cannot go back to embrace strong feelings, you can ask one, two, or three friends to sit next to you and help you with their support. They can give you mindfulness energy so that you can go back home with strength. They can say, 'Dear one, I know that the pain in you is very deep, and I am here for you.'" He goes on, "Taking refuge in the Sangha is a very important practice. Abandoned, alone, you get lost, you get carried away. So taking refuge in the Sangha is a very deep practice, especially for those who feel vulnerable, shaky, agitated, unstable. That's why you come to a practice center to take refuge in the Sangha. You allow the Sangha to transport you like a boat so that you can cross the ocean of sorrow." Let's cross the ocean of sorrow together. So here are some questions to help us identify those we want to create and nurture queer Dharma community with, right? And just I want you to notice like how these questions land in your body. Right? Who helps me access my loving self? Who helps you access your loving self? Who helps me access my wisdom? Who embodies a way of being in the world that I'd like to emulate? Who inspires me to grow, learn, and explore, to listen more and react less? And I'll tell you someone who's really inspiring me right now. There is this luminous being in Japan named Kodo Nishimura. And Kodo is a beautiful Japanese genderqueer Buddhist Pure Land monk who is just rocking the world right now, being a monk and a makeup artist and an activist and just an inspiration to LGBTQIAP folks all over the world, especially in the Dharma world. So here, Emiko, will you get the? And what's great, so Kodo's book is called This Monk Wears Heels. Look at this beautiful being. Here, Emiko's gonna scroll down to look. Oh yeah, look. So look at this. Look at this fabulous being in the world with the makeup, the amazing robes. It's like this beautiful way of queering the Dharma. Just to like take this in. Yeah. Thank you, Emiko. And yeah, this monk wears heels. And I'll read this. I'll read this to you. "This monk wears heels is a guide to self-love, self-acceptance, and taking a Buddhist approach to life. He reveals how inclusive the Buddhist teachings really are, and that yes, it is possible to be a Buddhist monk and do makeup and wear sparkly earrings. This book is about being who you really are, totally unapologetically and with full conviction." thanks, Emiko. So yeah, really, yeah, just really wanted to share that with you and just the delight of that. And Emiko, if you want to put that link into the chat, that would be great because I'd love for people to have the chance to capture that. And just to, I just have so much admiration for this queering of the Dharma, right? That just gave me Kodo Nishimura, it just gives me so much joy to like just take that in, this queering of the Dharma. I love this. If any of you know La Sarmiento, La says, I've heard La say, like, the Dharma is too important for us to take ourselves so seriously. Dharma is too important for us to take ourselves so seriously, right? Like it's such a great thing to remember at least. So let's be unapologetically queer in the Dharma, right? And to know, like, what does that look like for you? It's funny, as I was teaching queer yoga last week, I heard myself saying, now straighten your leg. It doesn't have to be perfectly straight. We're not here practicing straightness. We're not here practicing straightness. Right? It makes you think. Right? How much time and energy have we wasted in our lives trying to practice straightness? And maybe we've done it for our survival, right? Maybe just out of conditioning. Of course, maybe we're not exactly practicing queerness either, right? Maybe we're perfecting it. So, how do we queer the Dharma? Right? What does queering the Dharma look like? Right? Kodo gives us inspiration for that. And the good news is there are lots of things that have been queer just in the time that I've been in the Dharma world, right? We have queer teachers and queer retreats. We have queer staff and admin. We have queer affinity groups with pride flags on the altar, right? All of that's part of queering the Dharma. And I think, you know, queering the Dharma also looks like Sangha. It's queer Sangha. All the ways we hold each other and show up for each other. Even an invitation for you know, if you haven't already, and I know many of us have, but if you haven't already, to find queer Dharma community right here, where we are, great queer Dharma community, right? The East Bay Meditation Center also has Tuesday night Dharma, Alphabet Sangha Dharma community, even Insight Santa Cruz, right here where I live, has a regular monthly queer practice group. And all over the country, there are queer Dharma groups happening, which is really, really wonderful. Other possibilities are things like find a queer Dharma mentor to support your practice. Find more queer retreats. Even just get together once a month with a queer Dharma buddy and talk about what queering the Dharma means to you and how the Dharma supports your big queer life. And let's never doubt that we're allowed to be queer and Buddhist. It's good to remember that Buddhism, I think, had a sort of queerness to it from the very beginning. If we define queerness as a way of being that challenges and undermines the status quo, I don't know if any of you have read this book. It's called The Trauma of Caste. It's by Tenmozi Soundarajaran. And she explores how Buddhism, from its inception, was a movement against the horrors of the caste system in India as a way of pulling people out of the system of hierarchy and oppression by equalizing all members of all castes within the Buddhist Sangha. So, like, the priestly caste was practicing with the Dalit caste, the lowest caste, which the outcasts, right? And this was 2,600 years ago. So even at that time, liberation didn't mean only awakening to our true nature. It also meant liberation from the strictures of society, the oppressive strictures of society. So I think we should be proud of the ways that we include ourselves in today's Buddhist Sangha, proud of the ways we work to make the Sangha more inclusive, all the ways we create and recreate community in our lives, right? To help keep us on the path to liberation, both in the material world and, you know, in absolute reality as well. And so, what does this path look like? Who's on it with you? And how do you know who you want to walk this path with? There's a sutra where the Buddha listed several conditions that the Sangha should strive for to ensure its well-being and its longevity. And there's a few of them here. Attend on each other with loving kindness indeed, both openly and in private. Attend on each other with loving kindness in word, both openly and in private. Attend on each other with loving kindness in thought, both openly and in private. And I feel like this is basically like the Buddha saying, to quote like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, right? Just be excellent to each other. Be excellent to each other. And I think even, if we were going to translate this now, into something a little more modern, right? It's like I can give that shot. Like to find people who help your nervous system re-regulate. Find people with whom you're allowed to make mistakes and you're allowed to be in your own process of change and growth. People who bring you joy, who celebrate you, who help you think a little differently about the world. People who encourage you to be more self-compassionate and who encourage your healing. People who support your talents and brilliance while still allowing you to be a messy and real human being. Because we can't help that. It's like the people who help you be excellent to yourself and excellent to the world. I don't know if you've heard that that RuPaul quote. He says, "I realize that no one has been crueler to me than I have been to myself. The most dangerous place on earth is inside my own head." Once I was on a hike with a Dharma sibling who was telling me about how their practice was going and how they were living with new housemates and working with metta practice. And they were saying that one day they'd lost their keys in the house somewhere. You know how that is, right? And out loud, they started talking themselves through it. And they were saying, "Oh, sweetheart, you can't find your keys again. And you're worried because you're running late and you're upset because this happens a lot. But don't worry. We're going to find them. We always do. Just keep breathing. Just try to remember where you might have left them last." And their roommate was just staring at them, like, "Who talks to themselves this way? Who does that?" And I'm listening to my friend thinking, "I got to start talking to myself that way." Right, especially when I lose my keys, right? What if I'm just kind and encouraging with myself, excellent to myself instead of being harsh and mean and just getting more and more stressed? And I've tried to do that ever since. I think about my friend. From Audre Lorde. "We cannot love our people unless we love each of us ourselves. Unless I love each piece of myself, those pieces I wish to keep and those I wish to change. For survival is the ability to encompass difference, to encompass change without destruction." I'm going to read that one more time. "We cannot love our people unless we love each of us ourselves. Unless I love each piece of myself. Those pieces I wish to keep, and those I wish to change. For survival is the ability to encompass difference, to encompass change without destruction. Not trying to destroy parts of ourselves, but including all of it. Ah, yes, this too. Right? It's such a beautiful mantra for our queer community. Ah, yes, this too. To ourselves and to each other. So find your sangha. Find your sangha that helps you be excellent to yourself, and to each other, to the earth, to all beings. Let your community not only be your refuge, but your path, your runway, right? Your catwalk to awakening. I'll close with a poem. So just settle in a little bit. Even close your eyes if you want to take this in. It's a poem from David White. Your great mistake is to act the drama as if you were alone, as if life were a progressive and cunning crime with no witness to the tiny hidden transgressions. To feel abandoned is to deny the intimacy of your surroundings. Surely, even you at times have felt the grand array, the swelling presence and the chorus crowding out your solo voice. You must note the way the soap dish enables you, or the window latch grants you freedom. Alertness is the hidden discipline of familiarity. The stairs are your mentor of things to come, and the doors have always been there to frighten you and invite you. And the tiny speaker in the phone is your dream ladder to divinity. Put down the weight of your aloneness and ease into the conversation. The kettle is singing even as it pours you a drink. The cooking pots have left their arrogant aloofness and seen the good in you at last. All the birds and creatures of the world are unutterably themselves. Everything is waiting for you. The name of that poem is Everything is Waiting for You. And so I want to turn to the wisdom of our sangha now. I want us to explore some questions. And first, just notice for a moment how, I've been talking a lot, blah, blah, blah. And just notice how it's all landing, right? How it's landing for you, how your body's responding, right? How you are this late into the evening. It's arising. And then I want to drop some questions into your awareness and just let you hold them. And what do you think, Emiko? Should we just do a large group investigation of this?
Totally up to you, Kimbo.
I want to respect people's ability to participate without necessarily adding something in. So I'd like people to be able to like witness a larger conversation. Hope that'll work out. So I'm going to drop these questions in, and then you'll have the opportunity to raise a hand and to share your response. You'll have the opportunity to write in a response into the chat. So the questions are, and I'll put them in the chat as well. Questions are, what qualities in your Sangha siblings do you value most? And then how do you want to show up in Sangha? What qualities in your Sangha siblings do you value most, and how do you want to show up in your Sangha? I'm scrolling through a little bit, just looking at everyone, wanting to wave. I'm gonna do a little dedication of merit, and then we'll check in with Emiko and see if there are any other announcements or anything that need to be made. Settle in for a moment, feel your breath. May the goodness and wholesomeness of our practice here together be a benefit to ourselves and each other, to all those we love near and far. May it benefit our communities, and may it ripple out to benefit all the communities beyond our communities. May this practice be a benefit in whatever way possible to help relieve the suffering of those who are ill, isolated, incarcerated, all those in fear. May this practice, in whatever way possible, be of benefit in all the realms to all beings everywhere.